Nice to see you this morning. Welcome to those of you online. Am I on? Yes, I am on. Good. We're continuing in our series in Luke. Last week we were in Luke chapter 4, where Jesus gave his, Luke's recording of his first sermon in Nazareth. It wasn't the beginning of his ministry, but it's the beginning point that Luke chose. And we're moving ahead now to Luke chapter 5. And so if you want to tap there on your phones or turn there in your Bibles, Luke 5 contains three amazing, astonishing, surprising stories about Jesus and his encounter with marginalized or unexpected people. And the three stories are this. There's the catching, this will refresh your memory, the catching of the two boats full of fish with Peter when he hadn't caught anything all night. Following that is the story of the cleansing of leprosy from the man, and then the healing of the paralytic. His friends let him down through the roof tiles to heal the paralytic man. We're going to focus today on the cleansing story in the middle, but the purpose of all three of these stories, if you go back and read Luke chapter 5, is to point us towards something more astonishing than miraculous provision, more amazing than cleansing or healing. All three of these events in the life of Jesus, Luke describes to point us towards knowing the person and power of Jesus to give us new life. Because we don't sing about ordinary grace. We don't sing about common grace. We sing about amazing grace. And so these stories should surprise us. They should shock us. We should find something amazing about grace. And I'll admit, as we go on in our life as Christians, sometimes grace doesn't seem all that amazing anymore. But Luke is showing us these stories that the mercy and the grace of Jesus is not everyday. It's not commonplace. It's amazing grace. And we need that amazing grace. We should be amazed by what Jesus does. Where we had nothing, Jesus fills us with new purpose, as he did with Peter. Where we were where we are unclean, Jesus purifies and makes us new creations. Where we are crippled, Jesus heals us and sets us free from what binds us. Now, the account of the leper is very short. It's just four verses, beginning at verse 12. The whole encounter between Jesus and this man takes maybe 3 or 4 minutes at the most to transact. But there's an astonishing mercy. There's an astonishing message that's displayed in what Jesus does and in what Jesus says and how the leper responds. Because remember, Luke is all about how do we respond. And the message is so astonishing that it kind of ripples throughout the crowd and then it ripples throughout the land of Israel. It's so astonishing that people still remember it when Luke is writing his gospel. It's only fully understood when the disciples can look back on it through the lens of the crucifixion and the substitution of Jesus for himself, for our sin and our guilt on the cross. And so it's an astounding story, and we'll get to see how this 3 or 4 minutes really unpacks an amazing picture of God and Jesus and his mercy and grace. Now, I don't know if you know that much about leprosy. It was an incurable disease in all of the centuries of the Bible. It's been incurable for most of history. In fact, right up until modern antibiotics and medicine were developed, nothing could really be done about leprosy, humanly speaking. Lepers were simply isolated. They were set aside. They were kept away from everybody else, and you just waited to see whether their bodies could fight off the disease, which never really happened. Because without treatment, leprosy will spread over the whole body, and it becomes increasingly incurable as time goes on. In Job 18, it's called the firstborn of death. Essentially, in Jesus' day, if you had leprosy, you were as good as dead. It was just a matter of time. And under the old covenant law of Moses, there's a long list of instructions on how to deal specifically with leprosy should it enter the community of God's people. If you go to Leviticus 13, don't go there right now, I'll summarize it for you. But pretty much all of Leviticus 13 is a full diagnostic description of the kinds of skin conditions that might be leprosy or might lead to it, and how the priests are instructed to examine these, you know, skin conditions and take action based on what they see is happening on the surface of the person. And I won't go into all the gory details of swelling and oozing sores and raw flesh. If, you know, you want that some night before you go to bed, just read Leviticus 13. But as you read through this, it's all the symptoms or all the signs of leprosy. And if a person is deemed to be leprous according to the law, then the consequence is prescribed in Leviticus 13:45. It says this, after all this description, the leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes and let the hair of his head hang loose, and he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, "Unclean, unclean," and he shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean, he shall live alone, his dwelling shall be outside the camp. So according to the law, after inspection, if it's determined you have leprosy, you're declared unclean, you have to go about, declare yourself unclean, you have to wear torn clothing, which represents mourning or grief, so everybody knows the condition that you're in. You're recognizable as a sufferer. You're not allowed to touch anyone. You're banished from the presence of the community. And if they ever came in the vicinity of crowds, the people would part, give them a wide berth, as the leper declared their contagion to everyone. Now, why all this about leprosy? Well, every Israelite was well aware of all of this in Jesus' day. The priesthood was still functioning. The law of Moses was still in effect. People were still going to the priest to get diagnosed. And if they were diagnosed, then they went out to the leper colonies. And all the people that Jesus is teaching and talking to, they know about the leper colonies that exist. They know that lepers are supposed to act a certain way, and how everyone, especially, you know, clean people, especially Pharisees and rabbis and scribes, how they're supposed to act towards lepers. And in addition to all of that medical reality, because of the mystery of how people contracted it and its incurable nature and the special attention it was given in the law, all the people in Israel knew that leprosy was associated with spiritual impurity. It was associated with sin. In order to be cured of leprosy, you would have to have your sins forgiven. And in fact, if you had leprosy, it was probably an indication that you had sinned in a great way. So a leper was considered afflicted by God for their sin and afflicted medically and physically in their sickness. And then, just as he promised in his sermon at Nazareth, it's into this context of the law, of leprosy, of the culture of Israel, of sin and impurity, that Jesus steps into this context to put on display the victory of his on our behalf over both the law, death, and sin. This is the encounter that takes place. While he was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I will, be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. And he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing, as Moses commanded, for a proof to them. But now, even more, the report about him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities. But he withdrew to a desolate place to pray. Now, there's a lot that's surprising about this account, starting with just the location. Jesus is no longer along the shore of the Sea of Galilee with the fishermen. He's now in a city. And while in a city, a leper comes to him. And of course, right away you realize this is a surprise, because lepers are not supposed to be in cities. They're supposed to be outside the city. They're supposed to be outside the camp. They're supposed to be in the leper colony. They're supposed to be apart from the people. But this man, who is described as being full of leprosy, just so there can be no doubt about how obviously sick he was, he's covered in sores from head to foot. He is so desperate to see Jesus that he breaks through the social convention. He breaks through all ideas of polite decency that he should be performing as a leper. And in a very real way, he even pushes against the very barrier of the law that has commanded him to stay apart. And instead of shouting, "Unclean, unclean," he falls at the feet of Jesus in a city and seeks cleansing. It's exactly because he's unclean that he must not avoid Jesus. He must come to Jesus, has to come in contact with Jesus. Jesus has proclaimed he's good news to everyone who knows the sickness and disease of sin that has covered their lives. For us, it's exactly when we are aware of how unclean we are, when we are aware of just how full of sin we are, that we have to push past any restriction or barrier to get ourselves into the presence of Jesus and throw ourselves at his feet for his mercy.
If you feel yourself the weight of sickness, of your sin today, then don't avoid Jesus. I've heard so many people say to me, who I've talked to, who I'd seen at Lakeside or seen at church, and after a few months goes by, and then a few more months goes by, and I meet with them, and I say, I haven't seen you at church, and they just say, oh, my life is in such a mess right now. I don't feel like if I went back there, I feel like I'd just be judged. You know, lightning might strike me if I went in. It's when you feel the weight of your sin that you have to press in to the presence of Jesus, not run away from him, not avoid him. This leper knew what he needed, and he pushes past all of the barriers. Don't let the crowds of people who think you aren't worthy of being in his presence, who think you deserve to be nearer to him than you do, don't let sort of self-righteous or even just everyday churchy people scare you off. Come into the presence of Jesus. And for those of us that are here and have felt his cleansing, don't ever be an obstacle to people coming into Jesus' presence. If we're going to part the crowd, and as we've made space here, if we're going to part the crowd, it's not because they're sick, it's because we want them to get closer to Jesus. We're going to make space for them so that the people who need to be at Jesus can get to his feet. If we're sick, we need to press closer to the healer, as this leper understood. If we're unclean, we need to be washed by the one who is able to cleanse. It's also surprising here that the leper recognizes that he needs the Lord to accomplish what the law cannot. So he presses in where he's not welcome to get to the feet of Jesus, and then he calls him Lord. If you will, you can make me clean. If you can imagine what brings this man to this point of desperation. He's full of leprosy. He's been a leper for a long time, to the point, as I said, that it covers his body. He's been alienated by all of society. His condition has kept him out of relationship with people that he loves. He's living alone. He has no compassionate human touch. He knows the law. At some point in the past, he was diagnosed with this condition. As the law said, he went to the priest, as according to Leviticus 13. They examined him according to the scroll. He's declared unclean, and he's sent out from the people. This all happened to him. That's why he's declared a leper. That's why he's an outcast. So all of this has taken place to him. And you can imagine that he came back at the prescribed intervals to be re-examined, to make sure, like, am I still sick? Is it really leprosy? Is it being cured? Am I in remission? And every time he comes back to be re-examined to see if it's something that is maybe not as serious as he hoped, something that didn't condemn him to die. And every time he goes back to the priest, they keep declaring to him, according to the law, no, you're condemned. You're among the walking dead. It's the same message that he hears over and over and over again. When he goes to the priest and he goes to the law, he says, the priests say, we've examined you. We've held you up to the conditions of Leviticus, of the Mosaic law, and you have failed every test that the law has given, and you are excluded from the company of God and his people. You see, there is nothing in the law that the priest could do that healed leprosy. There is nothing in the law that cleansed the leper of their disease. All the priest could do according to God's law was to examine a person, test a person to see if they pass. And all the law could do for a leper was declare them unclean. And what we have to understand is that the law works the exact same way towards us in our sin. If the law was able to save anyone, it would only be able to save someone who was perfect, who could hold all points of the law and be tested in every way and found righteous. Because to fail at any point of the law is to fail at every point. The intent of the law towards us was not to save us from sin, but to diagnose sin. The purpose of the law towards God was to be a means of his mercy and patience towards us until one could come who could accomplish the law on our behalf and would set us free from it. But until that time, the law could only test us and tell us that we failed. James writes, "For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become guilty of all of it." The Apostle Paul says, "For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God has been manifest apart from the law. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe." And so Jesus proclaimed, and so Luke saw. And now we learn in this encounter with the leper, this is a living, powerful example, a picture of the good news that has come with Jesus. The righteousness of God has manifested or become real and solid for us, apart from the law. Even though the law and the prophets told us about it and tell us to expect it, our righteousness comes not through the testing of the law. Our righteousness comes through trusting in Jesus as this leper did. All the law could do for this unclean man was to say, "You're unclean. You're unclean. You're unclean." All the law can do for us is say, "You're unclean. You're unclean. You're unclean." It is only the righteousness that Jesus has accomplished. It's only the touch of Jesus that can make us clean. Our righteousness has to come from another source. And this leper just instinctively understood this, that Jesus was Lord, he was the Messiah, and that he had to go to him to receive what the law could not give. He has no doubt. His faith is clear in both his actions and his word, pushing past the law to approach Jesus and fall at his feet and not ask but declare, "If you will, you can make me clean." Not maybe or would you, but I know, Lord, if you want to make me clean, I know you can do it. You can do what the law can't do. He has no doubt that Jesus is able to give him the righteousness he does not possess and can never possess for himself. He says Jesus can cleanse him to a point of purity that the law then has no more condemnation or hold over him. For all the times we thought it would be possible in our own lives to match up to the law condemns us. As much as we try to do better or try harder, the law keeps condemning us. But when we get desperate enough, like this man, to find a way through the law and find our way to Jesus, and he says, "I will make you clean, be clean." Because Jesus possesses a holiness that produces in us what the law requires but cannot impart. And then another surprising thing happens. Jesus touches the leper. And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I will be clean." Now this is surprising because Jesus doesn't need to touch the leper. And he's in a crowd of people who are going to be very put off if he touches this leper. It's bad enough that the leper has come to Jesus, but then Jesus actually reaches out and touches him. And you can just feel the crowd cringing. "Do you not know who this is, Jesus? Do you not realize that you are now going to be ceremonially unclean? And Jesus, we're going to have to consider you unclean until you get ceremonially purified by the law." But he stretches out his hand and he touches him. And it's surprising as well because he doesn't need to touch him. Jesus has healed without touching. He created the whole world with nothing but speaking it into being. Jesus could heal this man with just a word. He didn't have to touch him, but he touches the man. He stretches out his hand and touches him. And yes, Jesus is showing compassion, and he's offering this man what he must crave, physical contact. He's never had another person touch him compassionately for who knows how long. But far more profoundly, Jesus is destroying the spiritual gap between sinful man and holy God. It's a gap like the leper that we can't cross. We can't get across that gap between our sinfulness and God's holiness. We can't elevate ourselves to heaven. We can't enter into the presence of God without his assistance. God has to enter into creation as he did in Jesus. And then Jesus has to reach out to us and bridge the gap and draw us in. We cannot approach his purity and righteousness, but he can overcome our sin. And there comes a point in our life where we just get tired of our disease and we get tired of our sin. Maybe you haven't got there yet. You know, maybe you're still thinking that this sin thing is good and you can deal with all the consequences and you can keep the boat afloat and, you know, you can figure out a way to juggle all the lies and manage all the stress that it's causing you. But there comes a time when you just get tired of being resentful. You get tired of being angry. You get tired of being greedy. You get tired of being broken relationships and set aside from the community. You get tired of feeling like you're alone and fighting the whole world. You get exhausted of being unclean. You get tired of the way you feel about yourself, and eventually the alienation of your sin and its depravity and its distortion, you get exhausted from it all and how it removes you from the embrace of others. And eventually you just give up on all kinds of self-righteousness and you go to Jesus and you let the touch of Jesus make you clean because Jesus is not afraid of your sin. He's not afraid of our impurity. Jesus is not put off by our unrighteousness. Jesus is not dismayed by our need for healing. He's not disgusted with us or surprised that we're sinners. Jesus possesses a holiness that's not defiled by touching the unclean. He came for the unclean. And if you're hearing this today and you're reading it in the Bible, maybe for the first time, and you don't know what sort of God you're coming to in Jesus, know this simple fact. He's a compassionate God. He's full of compassion. He's willing to reach out to embrace you no matter what you've done. The leper, first version of humanity the Jewish people could think of, cursed by God, contagious and unclean, and yet Jesus is willing to reach out and touch him. Jesus is willing to reach out to you. No matter what you've done or how you may feel about yourself, Jesus sees you differently. He sees that he can make you clean, and he sees your desire to be clean, and he will reach out, and he will. He can, and he will. You see, by touching the leper, Jesus joins him in his alienation. Jesus identifies with the outcast. He bears the sin and the shame. 2 Corinthians says, "For he made him to be sin who knew, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." And in 1 Peter 2:24, Peter says, he himself bore our sins on his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed." You see, this is the exchange that's taking place here, right in front of all of these people. That this exchange is taking place, that Jesus is saying, I can do what the law can't do. I can relate to you. I can associate with you. I can touch you. I can take on your and taking on your uncleanness, I can give you my righteousness. I will bear your wounds. I will bear your sin and guilt. And immediately, the leprosy left him. As this leper humbled himself and put his faith and hope entirely on the authority and power Jesus had, in an instant, he was made clean. Just as Jesus proclaimed in his Nazarene sermon, "Today in your hearing, this scripture has been fulfilled." His salvation is immediate. It's today. The day of salvation for this leper, the moment of salvation for this leper was that moment, that day. Salvation of Jesus is instant and eternal. It's not some far off hope. The leper wasn't hoping, if I go to Jesus, maybe someday, way down the road, there'll be hope for me sometime in the afterlife. The salvation of this leper is present. It's now. And it's the same. You go to Jesus, he makes pure. He gives us salvation now. There's another amazement for the participants in this healing. Jesus says to the leper after healing him, "Go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing as Moses commanded, for a proof to them." Now you think the leper is amazed. You think the crowd is amazed by what's taking place. Just wait until the leper goes to present himself for examination under the law to the priests one final time. Jesus very specifically tells the leper, there is something you need to do. You need to go and show yourself to the priest, and then get ready to make the offering that follows being declared clean. Let's go back to the law and see what Jesus is referring to. After Leviticus 13, examine and what is to be done if anyone is to be found clean. Here's what happens under the law in Leviticus chapter 14. The priest normally leaves the temple of God out to the camp where the unclean are. In this case, Jesus tells the man to don't wait for the priest to come to you, but to come right in. Come in. I'm getting another microphone, I think. Because this one keeps cutting out. And this is... people online can't. Okay, there we go. This is for the people online. I'm shouting loud enough. Everybody here can hear me fine, but... now I don't have to shout quite so much. So in Leviticus 14, it explains what is to happen if you are declared clean from leprosy. And just understand, there's no record of this actually taking place in the Old Testament. There's all kinds of laws that actually didn't actually get fulfilled because they couldn't be fulfilled under the old covenant. And so this, there's no record of this actually taking place. There's no record of anybody actually being cleansed of leprosy. But so Jesus telling this man to go to the priest then, this is the astonishing thing, rather than the priest going out to the leper colony to examine these lepers, which I'm pretty sure they probably weren't doing, Jesus says, you go into them and you get ready because you're going to have to make the offering of one who is made clean. So this is what you're supposed to do. The priests are to take two identical birds, and they're used as a picture for the atoning sin that is to come. One bird is put into an earthen vessel over pure water, which if you think of a bird being put into an earthen vessel, we are in jars of clay. It is a picture of the incarnation of Jesus with his spirit into an earthly body. And that bird is killed in that earthen vessel. Heavenly God and earthly man together in one flesh, and then slain, the earthen bird is slain. And the still living bird is dipped in the blood of the slain bird, so that the live bird equates itself now with the bird that is dead. This now is the same bird. It has the blood of the dead bird on it. And the live bird, if you keep reading through Leviticus 14, has tied to it with a scarlet thread, a bits of cedar wood and hyssop. Just as Jesus will be nailed to a wooden cross and our sins, which are scarlet, hold him to that cross, and he will be the blood of the Passover lamb, which was spread on the doorposts of the Israelites in Egypt with a hyssop branch in Exodus 12. And hyssop is the same branch that the sponge of vinegar is lifted to touch Jesus' side on the cross. And so the leper who is cleansed is now sprinkled with the blood of the slain bird from the live bird as a sign that the slain bird is atoning for him, while the live bird, which is also the slain bird, is set free now to fly away, proving its victory over death in the grave, proving that the sacrifice has resulted in life. And so the leper goes to the temple, and he's got his birds, and he's got his scarlet thread, and he's got his hyssop and his cedar wood, and he's like, okay, priest, declare me clean. I got to do this thing. I got to kill this bird in an earthen jar, and then the blood of that bird is going to be on this bird, and it's going to be tied to this wood and hyssop, and then it's the live bird's going to be set free, and it's all symbolic of something. I can't imagine what. And you can imagine the surprise of the priests when they're like, when's the last time we did this? Has anybody ever done this? Has anybody ever seen a leper cured? You remember when John the Baptist was in prison, and even he was having doubts about Jesus, and he asked his disciples to go and ask Jesus a question. He said, are you the Messiah, or am I still waiting for someone? Are you actually him, or are we still waiting? And Jesus' answer to him was, tell them the lepers are cured. That's the answer. The lepers are cured, and good news is being preached to the poor. So you can imagine the amazement that the priest would actually need to do this ritual. The amazement that this man is clean. The amazement that the price has been paid and the sacrifice has been made and the sin can be forgiven and he can be declared clean. Now, they couldn't understand the symbols that God placed in the sacrifice. Jesus hadn't even gone to the cross yet. But what the Old Testament anticipates, the New Testament fulfills. And just as Paul said, as you recall in Romans 3, the righteousness of God has come apart from the law, but the law and the prophets bore witness to it. What do the law and the prophets bear witness to? What does the law seek to tell us? That the righteousness will come through Jesus, placed in an earthen body to die, held to the cross by our scarlet sins, a sacrifice that brings life and victory over death in the bird that is released. And so what's the result of this amazing encounter? Verse 8, and he who is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes and shave off all his hair and bathe himself in water, and he shall be clean. And after that, he may come into the camp. So the law says if the leprosy is cured and the offering has been given and the man is declared clean, then he gets to shave off all the hair of his body, bathe himself entirely in water, and after he is shaved and bathed and scrubbed pink, no eyebrows, like a newborn baby, he gets to come back into the community like a new creation. If you take some extra time to study Luke 5 and each of the astonishing stories, you would see that the common element in all three is the recognition that Jesus is the Messiah, that he can do what the law cannot do, and the faith of the people who respond to him. As you reread Luke chapter 5, you'll see that Peter says, "Because you tell me to, I will let down my nets." It's the faith of Jesus. It's the faith in Jesus that causes Peter to put down his nets and receive the provision that Jesus provides. The leper declares, "You can make me clean." It's the faith of the leper that accomplishes the mercy of Jesus in his cleansing. Later on in the third story with the paralytic man, it says, Jesus saw in the paralyzed man and his friends. It says, when he saw their faith in verse 20. It was the faith of the man and his friends that accomplished the healing and the forgiveness of sins. So the great catch, the cleansing, the healing, the forgiveness of sins comes with faith that Jesus is who he says he is, and he will do what he says he will do, that he is the fulfillment of the law. Even though the law can do nothing for us but judge us, Christ has come to fulfill the law. We press through the law to find Jesus. And when we find him, we put our faith in him, as this leper did. As Romans 10:9 says, "Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." This is what Jesus preached. This is what Jesus demonstrated. This is what Luke records us for us in the life of Jesus. Jesus has done these astonishing and astounding demonstrations of his grace and his mercy so that we might not just be underwhelmed by his grace, but that we might look on his grace and be amazed and be astounded. It's amazing grace. And there are people that need to come in contact with that amazing grace. They need to push through the crowds. They need to push past the law. They need to get past any attempt in themselves at self-righteousness and discover the amazing grace of God. And maybe you need to rediscover it in your own life. Maybe grace has become very common to you. Maybe it's become very just practical or everyday. And you needed the reminder this morning that God's grace is amazing grace, that it's astounding grace, and that Jesus is compassionate, that he reaches out, that he touches, that he bridges the gap between our unrighteousness and his purity, and that he possesses a righteousness that is not afraid of our sin, not contaminated by our impurity, but that overcomes and has victory over it, so that we can have new life like that bird flying away in cleanliness. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for these amazing stories of Jesus' grace and mercy, of your grace towards us. Father, we recognize that under the law, we cannot be found clean. We can't even be found clean under our own law. Even if we were making up rules about how we think we could live and should live, we would fail our own test, let alone your test. And so, Father, we need something greater than the law to come, and we give you praise that something greater than the law has come in the person of Jesus Christ. And he has gone to the cross, he's bore our sin, he's embraced our humanity so that we might become the righteousness of Christ while he takes on our sin and guilt. Father God, we just give you thanks for this amazing grace, and we pray that we would see it lived out in our lives, that we would respond to it the way this leper did, that we would go joyfully declaring ourselves clean and celebrating and rejoicing in you. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.